All right. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Let's stand out of respect for the word. I'd like you today to follow as I read these verses. Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, speak to our hearts. We're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for the testimony, Lord Jesus, of how you healed the leper. Speak to our hearts today. Change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, actually, this chapter 8 of Matthew, is a continuation of the thought throughout Scripture, especially chapter 4, where we find Jesus preaching the gospel of the kingdom in the area of Galilee. He's healing the sick and the lame and casting out demons. Matthew 4:25, and what happened? There followed him great multitudes of people. It mentions where they're from Galilee, from Decapolis, all the way from Jerusalem. That's like 2.5 days travel. And from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Multitudes. I think up into the thousands. So what did Jesus do? Well, he went up into a mountain. Left them all behind. Went up there with his disciples. Matthew 5, what did he teach? He taught them the Beatitudes. Now the mountain that we're seeing in this passage that he's coming down from was located on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, somewhere between Capernaum, right at the top, and Gennesaret. And there Jesus taught his disciples, there on the mountain. He taught them the Beatitudes, the similitudes. He taught them about giving. He taught them about prayer. He taught them about fasting. He taught them about laying up treasures in heaven. He talked to them about worry, judging, asking and receiving, the straight, narrow gates. He talked to them about false prophets. And all through his teaching, he is exposing the false teaching and the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Of course, by this time, he leaves the mountain. And the people are reeling at what he was teaching. Because Jesus had exposed their faulty teaching and exposed their hypocritical lives. He has told them their attitudes stink and that they have based all their lives and teaching on a faulty foundation, the sand. And yet the crowds keep multiplying. In fact, it says in chapter 7, the crowds were astonished at what Jesus was saying. They were actually astonished at his doctrine. Matthew 7:28, it says they were astonished, and then it says why, verse 29, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So, Matthew has already established the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. In fact, he actually does that in the first two chapters. Jesus shows that he is theologically qualified. Actually, through his teachings of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And so now, in chapters 8 through 9, Jesus is demonstrating his power and authority by miracles. We see him healing the sick. I mean, he speaks the word and the centurion's servant is healed. He heals Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. He casts out demons by the spoken word. He stills the tempest by rebuking the winds. He forgives sins. He raises the dead. And something we'll notice about the miraculous power of Jesus He did it immediately. Boom. No fanfare. No gimmicks. It was total and it was complete. Now look at verse 1 of Matthew 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So who were these people following Jesus? Well, they're throngs of people. People from a wide area, as we looked at. A very large, very great group of people. And why were they there? May I say, they were there for the spectacular. Jesus, you going to do another miracle? Hey, you going to raise the dead today? Hey, what are you going to do for us today? So they came for the spectacular. So verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, they followed him. They're coming down the hill with him. And so Jesus had went up to the side of the mountains where his disciples were there. And he actually taught them the Beatitudes and on and on. And so one writer characterizes these people. He says they were uncommitted observers. They were amazed at what Jesus said and did. But they were not convicted of their need of him as Lord and Savior. Look at verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, a leper. What's a leper? Well, it comes from a word which means scaly. Scaly in its texture and appearance. And actually, leprosy actually first appears as kind of a ringworm or a small white spot on your skin. And those spots generally appear suddenly, and they're usually on the face first, and then on the nose and the eyes, and the rest of the body. One writer said, there are three kinds of leprosy, distinguished by the appearance of the spots. He says you have the white leprosy, the black, the red leprosy. He said these spots, though few at first, gradually spread until they cover the whole body. Now, I read one book, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. I've read it a couple times, maybe three times. Here's a doctor's view of leprosy. Here's a man who had worked with lepers in the leper's colony for decades. This man is a world-renowned orthopedic surgeon, world-renowned leprosy physician. And he has provided much help for us in understanding the unique nature of this affliction of leprosy. Many call it Hansen's disease. So let me quote him. He says Hansen's disease or leprosy is cruel, but not at all the way other diseases are. He says it primarily acts as an anesthetic, numbing the pain cells of the hands and the feet, the nose, the ears, the eyes. He said, not so bad, really, one might think. He said, most diseases are feared because of their pain. But what makes painless disease so horrible? He goes on. Leprosy, Hansen's disease's numbing quality is precisely the reason such fabled destruction and decay of tissue occurs. Now watch this. For thousands of years, people thought leprosy caused the ulcers on the hands and the feet and face, which eventually led to the rotting flesh and the loss of limbs. You see lepers pictures, they have a stub for a foot and they've lost their hands, their fingers, their face is messed up. He says it has been established that 99% of the cases leprosy only numbs the extremities. He said the destruction follows solely because the warning system of pain is gone. He says, so how does this decay happen? He says in villages of Africa and Asia, by the way, you ever seen a leper? Yeah, some of us have. He says in villages of Africa and Asia, a person with leprosy has been known to reach directly into a charcoal fire to retrieve a dropped potato. I mean, nothing in his body told him not to. Patients at this doctor Brand's hospital in India would work all day gripping a shovel that had a protruding nail. It came out in their hand and went into their hand, they would extinguish a burning wick with their bare hands, or they would walk on splintered glass. They don't feel a thing. Watching them, Brand began formulating his what I would call a radical theory that leprosy was chiefly anesthetic and only indirectly a destroyer. In fact, he says on one occasion he tried to open the door of a little storeroom, but a rusty padlock would not yield to the key. He says a patient, an undersized, malnourished 10-year-old, approached him smiling. He said, "Let me try, Sahib, doctor." And he offered and reached for the key. With a quick jerk of his hand, he turned the key in the lock, the little 10-year-old. Well, Dr. Brand was dumbfounded. How could this weak youngster out-exert him? And his eyes caught a telltale clue. It was that a drop of blood had fallen on the floor from his hand. So upon examining that boy's fingers, Brand discovered the act of turning the key actually had gashed a finger open to the bone and skin and fat and joint. They're all exposed. Yet the boy was completely unaware of it. To him, the sensation of cutting his finger to the bone was no different from picking up a stone or turning a coin in his pocket. He goes on. He said the daily routines of life ground away at the leper patient's hands and feet, but no warning system alerted him. In fact, if an ankle turned, sprained an ankle, you tore a tendon or a muscle, you simply adjust and keep on walking. You'd walk crooked. If a rat chewed off the finger in the night, he would not discover it missing until the next morning. Stanley Stein, he was the author of a book called Alone No Longer. Stanley Stein went blind because of another cruel quirk of leprosy. Each morning, it seems he would wash his face with a hot wet washcloth. But neither his hand nor his face was sensitive enough to temperature to warn him that he was doing it with scalding water. So gradually, he destroyed his eyes with daily washing. So what is leprosy? Well, it's a graphic illustration in the Bible of sin. And like leprosy, sin infects the whole person. It's ugly, loathsome, corrupting, contaminating, alienating, and it's incurable by man. And lepers in ancient Israel were vivid object lessons of sin. Now, you go through the Bible, there are several mentions of leprosy. Actually, the root word of leper is used 68 times in the Bible. Numbers chapter 11, you've got Miriam, Moses' sister. She rebelled, and what did God do? He struck her with leprosy. Numbers chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, God instructed Israel of what to do with the lepers. To put unclean people or lepers outside the camp. Numbers 5. And then Nahum, you've read of him, 2 Kings chapter 5, he was captain of the host. God says he was a mighty man of valor and a leper. And Elisha called on God to heal him. He had to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Gehazi, greedy, 2 Kings 5, struck with leprosy. 2 Kings 15, Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. It says he dwelt in a several house. Now, in Leviticus 3, Moses gives instruction on how to handle lepers. He tells us that the leprous person was to be separated from the rest of the people. Why? Because of the contagious nature of their disease. Leviticus 14:4, the leprous person was to bring an offering to the priest of 2 birds, sparrows, and one would be used for sacrifice, the other would be released. So, what about this leper here in Matthew 8? My question is, where did he come from? I mean, think about this. They're in Gentile land. Galilee was full of Gentiles. He most likely came from a cave or some kind of a primitive dwelling in the fields. I don't think he was a Jew. And during that time, people were terrorized about being around lepers. You wouldn't come near a leper. Oh, he stinks. Oh, look at that. He's lost his arm. Kids, get away from him. And by the way, not just the Jews. And so this leper here in Matthew 8 was most likely a Gentile living in a very lonely life in some leper colony. Or maybe by himself. So let me ask you this. Can you imagine? Remember, the crowds are thousands. Can you imagine the crowds of thousands of people and their reaction as a leper comes right in their midst and comes right to Jesus, makes a beeline for Jesus? When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask for a replay of this. I can picture a huge empty circle of land around Jesus, bare land, no people, where all the people, maybe 100 yards around the circumference, are staring and wondering what's going to happen. You see this? A leper came to Jesus. What's Jesus going to do? Now, look at verse 2. It says, and behold, that word behold actually is a Greek word. Is hey, folks, pay attention to this. Look at this. Here's something that's happening suddenly. It says, and behold, there came, that's the word there means there approached, walked up to him, a leper, and he worshiped him. Do you notice this? Do you notice that the leper worshiped Jesus? You see that? And did you notice Jesus didn't stop him? Hey, don't worship me. Only worship Jehovah God. That's blasphemy. Stay away from me. Or Jesus didn't say, hey, get away from me. I don't want to catch your leprosy. Luke actually says, Luke chapter 5, verse 12, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and kneeling down to him, saying unto Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So here he is. He comes into this crowd. They scatter. They're watching. Everything's silent. You can hear the voice of Jesus, the voice of this leper crying out for miles. And he's gone to his face in front of Jesus, prostrate on his face. And now he's kneeling. Mark says, there came a leper beseeching him and kneeling down before him and saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. But what do we see here? We see the leper worshiping Jesus. Well, what about that? Well, Exodus 34:14, Jehovah God says, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Matthew 4:10, Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. It's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What about this? Leper worshiping Jesus. Well, it's not uncommon for people to worship Jesus. Wise men worshiped him. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 9. The disciples worshiped Jesus. Matthew 14. It says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The women at the empty tomb worshipped him. The disciples worshipped him when he ascended into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So here in verse 2, it says, there came a leper. He worshipped Jesus. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's like, Lord, Jehovah God, Messiah. You picture a Gentile saying this? If you are pleased to do so, would you make me clean? Lord, Master, I am depending on your will to be healed. If thou wilt. It's like, Lord Jesus, I know you can heal me. I've come a long way. Maybe he crawled. Maybe somebody had to help him, bring him. Maybe he stinks. maybe decaying flesh. Lord, I know you can heal me. However, I can't command you to heal me. It's up to you. Here's what he's saying. I am humbling myself before you, Lord. Lord, if you wilt. Hey, the awesome thing is no one ever approaches Jesus with this attitude and gets turned away. Are you with me? You never get turned away when you approach Jesus with that attitude. I mean, James 4:6, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So when I come to God, when we come to God, we say, if thou wilt. And when we say that, we're acknowledging his lordship. One writer said, no prayer can be answered out of God's will, and no petition can be refused when offered in God's will. In fact, that's a prerequisite for God. Did you know that? You've got to know the will of God if God's going to answer it. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So the leper says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I am unclean. Why is that? Leprosy is a disgusting disease. Keep your finger here. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Third book in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 13. Look at verse 3. Now wait a minute. Leviticus chapter 13, look at verse 3. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, this is the priest looking. And the plague is incited be deeper than the skin of the flesh, it's a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Now go down to verse 25, Leviticus 13. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, if it is the leprosy broken out of burning, because of burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is the plague of leprosy. Now, skip down to verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. Rip his clothes. His head bare. Shave him. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean! Unclean! He's got to go around dressed a certain way, bald head, yelling, I'm unclean, folks! I'm unclean! Now, keep your finger there in Leviticus 13. Back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. What's the next word? Saying, I will. That's the spoken word of God. I will, be thou clean. This shows a readiness of Jesus to heal. I mean, he didn't bargain with a man. He didn't discuss the disease. He simply said, I will, be thou clean. Here's another thought. By the way, this gets much better. Jesus wasn't content to only speak the word. What did he do? He reached out and touched this unclean man. He put forth his hand and touched him. And may I say, that ought to be a blessing to all of us. Jesus is not afraid to touch, to endear himself to an unclean person. You see the implications of this. I mean, he could have spoken the word and the unclean man would have been healed, right? However, he made it a point to touch this outcast. This is a man whom nobody else would touch. Think of it. Again, the lepers were the outcasts of society. Everyone wanted to stay away, stay away, stay away from the lepers, but not Jesus. Now it says he touched him. It's forbidden to touch a leprous man. If you touched a leper, you were considered yourself to be unclean. But I love John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that good? Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. David Berg, writer, said, he made himself of no reputation. Jesus was a companion of drunks and prostitutes, publicans and sinners, the outcasts, the downtrodden of society. He even told them they would enter the kingdom of heaven before the so-called good people. The self-righteous and religious leaders who rejected him and his simple message of love. He said the power of his love and of his appeal was so great and gave such great faith to the sincere truth seekers that they didn't hesitate to drop everything they had and forsake all immediately to become his full-time disciples. Now, read on. It says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. No healing in stages here. I mean, even though God may choose to heal a person in stages. You think about this. Again, this man's probably disfigured. He's got pus all over. He's got ugly scabs. He's probably deformed. And it says, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Suddenly he stands upright, perfect health. He is cleansed. He's purified. He's purged from all the disease. All of a sudden, people watching, his skin turns smooth. No more scars. Nice hair. Nice fingernails. Nice toenails. Hey, the disfigured parts of his body now are made right. I want you to notice that immediately upon being healed, Jesus issued him 4 commandments. Number 1, he said, see thou tell no man. Verse 4, tell no man. Number 2, go thy way. Number 3, show thyself to the priest. Number 4, offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I want us to talk about that. First of all, Jesus told him after he was healed, tell no man. I'm thinking, what? Why? A lot of answers. Maybe Jesus wanted to show deference or respect to the law first. And we're going to see that he was concerned that the man show himself to the priest and go through the ritual cleansing. Maybe Jesus was concerned that he would go out and start promoting Jesus, but that he had no credibility with the people because he wasn't willing to go through the purification process in the temple. Hey, this man has no certification. Stay away from him. Or maybe Jesus was concerned that the crowds would rally around him, resulting in the outrage of the jealous priests and scribes, and ultimately resulting in Jesus being put prematurely on the cross. And Jesus knew it wasn't his time yet. So, hey, don't tell anybody. Number 2, look what he says. Go thy way. He says, be on your way, buddy. Don't hang out with me. Don't stay around me. If you stay around me, the crowd's going to see this. I'm going to be expected to lead a revolt against the Romans. I don't want this to go on. So go ahead. Leave now. And he says, but go thy way. But grammatically is a strong word, which means, buddy, you gotta go. Leave now. Go. And let me tell you where to go. Go to the priest. Well, Mark tells us in his gospel, Mark 1 verse 45, that this healed leper did not obey Jesus. Let me read it. Mark 1:45. But he went out and began to publish it much. and to a blaze about the matter. Insomuch that Jesus, watch this, could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Now the third thing he says, go to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest. Well, now go back to Leviticus chapter 14. You were in Leviticus 13. Look at verse 1. This is Jehovah God speaking to Moses. Look what it says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Leviticus 14, verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. What does it say? He shall be brought unto the priest. Verse 3, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. The priest shall look. Behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, on and on. We'll look at that later. What's the fourth thing, Matthew 8, that Jesus tells him to do? He says, offer the gift commanded by Moses for a testimony or a proof unto them. Offer the gift. Go show yourself to the priest, Luke 5, verse 14 says, and offer thy cleansing as Moses commanded. So what did that involve? What's this gift he's talking about? Go back to Leviticus 14. Verses 1 through 4, he had to take two live birds and clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. Watch what he has to take with him. Verse 5, you got to wash your clothes, shave off all your hair. On the seventh day, shave all your hair off your head again and the beard, all your hair off your beard and eyebrows, and wash all your clothes and wash your flesh in water, and you're going to be clean. On the eighth day, verse 10, he shall take two he lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and one log of oil. Log of oil is one cup or small bowl of oil. Look at verse 21. And if he's poor and he can't afford all this, he was to take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make an atonement for him, 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log, small cup, small bowl of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he's able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering, the other a burnt offering, and he shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and on. So, watch this. At least 8 days of going through the purification process. 8 days. Being with the process in the temple with the priest. And, may I say, 4.5 days of traveling, bringing all the supplies, standing in line then, maybe for days, to see the priest. No way. Read on. It says, an offer back to Matthew chapter 8. And offer the gift, verse 4, that Moses commanded for a testimony that's a proof unto them. So why was he to do all of this? To show to the people and to the priests that he was truly healed. Now, let's look at this from the bigger picture. This would give to all the clear message that Jesus is truly the Messiah. Number 2, that Jesus was not against the law, but was there to fulfill the law. Jesus respected and honored the Old Testament. I have a friend of mine, atheist, who says, well, you know what? I've just decided only to believe the words of Jesus. I say, well, that's great so far. Jesus quoted from the Old Testament 78 times. He quoted from the first 5 books of Pentateuch 26 times. He quoted from 27 books in the Old Testament. So Jesus was all about the Old Testament. And so requiring the leper to go to the temple was, in essence, a demonstration to everyone, hey, I support the commandment of Moses. I'm not against the law. Number three, it demonstrated he has the power to heal. So, question for you. Why didn't this cleansed leper, this man whose life has been changed by Jesus, why didn't he leave? I mean, Jesus told him, hey, I want you to go, present yourself to the priest, and he didn't go. Why is that? Well, number four, this man would then be certifiably healed. He'd be able to go on with his life without any questions. And so doing, watch this, this man would then validate Jesus' ability to do miracles. Basically saying these miracles are the real deal, folks. There's nothing fake about this. I like that. I mean, you look at some of the faith healers today. All these people coming up, throwing their crutches out, walking. I'd like to catch them the next week and interview them. Right? Let's see if they're the real deal. Well, that's kind of what this is thinking, what Jesus is thinking here. You go through that certification process, show that you're the real deal. And one writer said, in conforming to the law, the cured leper becomes the occasion for the law to confirm Jesus' authority as the healer who needs but to will the deed for it to be done. So here's the thought. Jesus told this man, number one, keep your mouth shut about being healed. Number two, go your way. Take the trip to Jerusalem. Sacrifice your time, your finances. Go. Number three, honor the law of God. Present yourself to the priest. Humble yourself and show yourself to the priest and go through the process of being ritually cleansed. And number four, offer the gift that Moses commanded. What's that? Go through the steps of being ceremonially cleansed. The idea, gain a good reputation, be willing to sacrifice your time, your finances to go through this, and show the people you're the real deal. You see, it was a big deal that this man go to the temple and let the priest check him out to see if he was truly clean. Here's the issue. Here's the problem. This man didn't feel like it was the best thing to obey Jesus' command. Are you with me? No big deal. He imagined he could thank and serve Jesus best by going out and preaching or blazing out about that miracle. Spreading the story abroad. You know, there's no way you can get around this. This man disobeyed the direct command of Jesus. So as a result of this man's actions, watch this, people's minds would be so occupied with the miracles that they would disregard the message about Jesus. Hey, show us the spectacular, forget your preaching. So what's the end result of that? Well, Jesus avoided the cities now. He remained outside in lonely places. Why? To allow the excitement to die down. Verse 45 of Mark 1 says that. Also, watch this, the ministry of Jesus in the synagogues was now shut down. The credibility of this man's healing was questioned. What about this? Here's a question for you. Is it ever right to do wrong in order to do right? That's what you call situation ethics, right? I mean, this man was all about telling people about Jesus' power to heal. That's right. Amen? That's what we need to do. He is a miracle-working God. But what happened? He disobeyed God. As a result, the synagogue's ministry shut down. People rallied around Jesus to see more miracles. And Jesus had to go to the desert. It wasn't his time to die. So what? Well, we see the leper as a humble seeker and worshiper. Here's a so what. Jesus deserves our obedience. Total obedience. Number two, Jesus deserves our humble worship. This man fell on his face. He fell on his knees. He's a humble seeker. His approach was, if you will. I think it must have been humiliating for this man to come through this crowd of people that shunned him in order to see Jesus. Here's a leper in a crowd of people. Fortunately, most of these people were Gentiles. And we see Jesus here as a great healer, power over disease, omnipotent. Then we see Jesus as having discernment and understanding. He told the man, don't spread the news about your healing. Jesus saw the people's desire for miracles and signs would cause a frenzy, would shut down his ministry in the synagogues. So Jesus had discernment and understanding. Hey, shut up, shut your mouth, get out of here. Then we observe what disobedience does. Did you know disobedience hinders the ministry of Jesus? Are you with me? And we observe that Satan's method, watch this, is to substitute the good for the best. It was good that a man was excited. It's good that he wanted everybody to know. That's good, but it wasn't best. The best thing to do for this man was to patiently, sacrificially follow the Lord's plan for credibility in the future. We also observe people who are caught up with miracles and not the miracle worker. We observe the shortcut ministry of a man. This is so vital, we could spend a half hour talking about shortcuts. I mean, not willing to go through the right steps, the right process, which took time and sacrifice for that man to gain credibility. The result, the ministry of Jesus was thwarted. Here's another one. It's never right to do wrong to do right. Hey, what's wrong with this? I'm promoting Jesus. I'm promoting his miracles. What's wrong? Well, hey, you didn't realize something. First of all, Jesus told you not to do that. And Jesus said, get out of here and go present yourself to the priest. So the much bigger picture here. So what? Here it is. Jesus deserves our obedience. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to do things our way. Total obedience. Why? Because obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings conflict. Number two, Jesus deserves our humble worship. If you will. He fell on his face. He fell on his knees. His words were, if you will. Humble worship. Here's another one. One look at the gift that Moses commanded. What do we see? As one writer said, we see a stunning picture of how Jesus cleanses all of us from our spiritual leprosy. His sacrificial blood is what cleanses us from all sin. Amen? Last of all, here we are. Here we are again. We see a portrait, a picture of an all-powerful God in the flesh who has power over disease. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. What a privilege, Lord, to preach your word. What a privilege it is, Lord Jesus, to know you.